Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this last Sunday of the month of October the 29th, 2023. Now, I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I am truly honored, privileged, and blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly. But as always, I am joined by God's own, his anointed serving leaders in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Deacon William Isabel, and then we have our elders in the house. Hallelujah. We have Brother Lee and Sister Terry Larson, and we have the beautiful Sister Nita in the house this morning. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's service, and we pray that you will hear something that will uplift your spirit and bless your very soul. Now, won't you bow your head with me as we go to the Lord in opening prayer? Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, just thanking you for the opportunity to come out and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this day, another day to get closer to you, Lord, another day to praise you, another day to worship you, another day to glorify you, and we are so grateful. Now, Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus, if we've done anything today that is out of character to you, we pray that you will remove it right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we pray that you would use this worship service to glorify you in all that we do. We pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will be lifted up so that you might draw all men into yourself. We pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that the lost will be saved. Hallelujah. And we pray that disciples will be made for your glory. So we pray it all now in your holy and righteous and precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
He promised me he will
deliver.
He promised me he will
deliver.
I believe he will
deliver, deliver, deliver.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And we praise God that each and every Sunday morning we are blessed to have the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, come. And she will read to you from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So right now, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen. Mother Mitchell? Okay, Mother Mitchell must be having technical difficulty. My Lord, we say glory to God, and we will be moving on. Hallelujah. I will be reading in her stead. And today's reading is Watch What Jesus Does. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll be looking at you. We can now. Go, okay, Mother, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Okay.
Amen. So please read. Thank you.
I moved it around.
Oh, that's okay. Just read, Mother. Thank
you. Okay. The morning is entitled, Expect Good Things to Happen to You. And we'll be looking at a real short portion of Ephesians 6 and 17, which and take of salvation. Now, when the phone rings at times, most people think, oh dear, it must be bad news. They don't think what to do is wait till morning. When we hear the boss see you, instinctively we think, oh dear, this is not good. But how do we know that it's good? Going to be about a promotion. Our minds are inclined toward the negative. So to guard our minds against negative thoughts, we need to put a salvation, the hope salvation, and you can read Thessalonians. If you are going through it right now, put on as the hope of salvation that you have a expectation. It means that you choose to believe that this trial you're going through is only temporary because God will see you through it. It means that you believe that this difficult period within salvation, your presence, wholeness, wellness, health, and you may not know when to happen this week. One thing you can do is put on the helmet of salvation and tell yourself you are going to have a fantastic week. Well, no past bridge. You never know that to experience these days, another flu break, another company retrenching its workers. I really hope that I will not be entrenched next. But I cannot be sure and keeping my fingers crossed. No, my friend. Biblical hope is not I hope so. I know can have a confident attestation that happening because you're not like the people of the world. You are a child of living God. You have a Savior watching over you. There are some angels over you, are demons of you. And greater is he in you than he is in the world, John 4. There is every reason to have a confidence of the glory to God. May the Lord add favors to the readers, hearers, and especially to his holy and righteous word. The thoughts for the day, as a child of God, you can have a confident expression of good to you. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody expecting God to do something for you?
I hear the sound, the abundance of rain. That means my blessings are on the way. May not see it, but I believe it. The promises of God are already mine. I hear the sound, the abundance of rain. That means my blessings are on the way.
May not see it.
I really do believe it. The promises of God are already mine.
I believe.
It's already mine.
I dare you lift your hands in this place and say it's all.
I believe.
I put your praises where your beliefs are. I dare you put your praises where your beliefs are. Hallelujah, come on.
I hear the abundance of rain. That means my blessings are on the way.
I may not see it. I really do believe it. The promises of God are already mine. I believe it. If God said it,
I believe it.
I'll stand on his word
until I receive it. I'll hold on to his every word.
The promises.
Promises of God.
If God said it.
I'm
gonna stand on his word
until I
hallelujah, 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 and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and this is one of the most important times of our service, because this is the time that we, the Spirit Alive family, individually and collectively, stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over the world. Hallelujah. We pray for the issues and the needs of those, our brothers and sisters, no matter where they may be. And it is always our fervent prayer that you are blessed. Therefore, when we pray here, we pray expecting, believing, and knowing that God will do exactly what he says he will do, and we are going to trust it. We are going to stand on it in the name of Jesus. So right now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to bow your heart, because I am a firm believer that when the men of God stand and pray, the people of God are blessed. So I am going to ask the mighty man of God, Bishop Lester Carver, to come on in and lead us in prayer on this day. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to pay for all of our sin. Father, I thank you for how his broken body paid for our physical wholeness. Father, I thank you for you having sent your son, Jesus Christ, so that we could live life more than abundantly, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, God. I thank you for us using that abundance in order to draw many unto you. Father, I thank you for you using us as vessels of honor to restore others, to heal others, to encourage others, to comfort others, to build others up, to draw others out of bondage to sin, doubt, worry, fear, and unbelief. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to heal those who are sick. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to clothe those who are naked. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to feed those who are hungry and to give drink to those who are thirsty. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to visit and sit with those who are lonely. God, I thank you for you giving us to set free those who are bound. Father, I thank you for you giving us a heart that seeks justice and seeks mercy and lives humbly before you so that we can draw many to you by sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, with others, so that they can come boldly before your throne and receive grace and mercy to help in time of need, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to study your word so that we can hear your heart, we can understand your purpose, and we can share in your master plan of dwelling with your people and having your people dwell with you in perfect peace and perfect harmony. Father, I thank you for us looking forward to that day when you send your son, Jesus Christ,
yes,
to
Jesus.
All of those that you have called before the foundations of the world to be your children, to dwell with you. Father, I thank you for you using us again to spread this good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, with others. I thank you for what is occurring in the Holy Land right now in Israel. I thank you for your presence before the walls of Israel right now. Thank you for all of those people, God, that you are protecting, that you have called in the midst of areas of war around the world in various places, God. Father, I thank you for you protecting your people. I thank you for you strengthening your people. I thank you for you feeding your people. I thank you for you comforting your people, God, those that you have called to dwell with you. Father, I thank you for you using them in order to keep your hand and your presence at work in the areas that you have placed your people, God.
Father,
I thank you,
Lord Jesus,
the desire to be the light and the salt, to be that active element that allows the good to go forth in a way that restores others, strengthens others, encourages others, builds others up, and delivers others from bondage to sin, death, sickness, disease, and all of those things that the devil would have to subject us to his will instead of your will.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for freedom through your son, Jesus Christ, God. Father, I thank you for us embracing your son, Jesus Christ, and embracing the freedom and deliverance and the power that comes with that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you place within us. I thank you for this message today and this service today, just being a glory and honor to you and for many being delivered around the world. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's good right there. That was good right there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I believe it.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's message. So if you would please retrieve your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26, and we will be walking through verses 1 through 32. Acts chapter 26, we will be looking at verses 1 through 32. And if you do not have a Bible, but you are on your phone or computer, you can go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts 26, verses 1 through 32, hallelujah, and you will be right on point. But before I begin the message today, I just want to give honor to my Father God, to my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, to these phenomenal servants of God, a Spirit Alive, elders, and to all of you, God's elect. I pray that peace dwell within your households now and forever. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 26, verse 1 through 33. I am now going to begin with a short word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come humbly before your throne of grace, just asking, Father God, that I decrease, so that you might have all the increase. I pray in the name of Jesus that this teaching, hallelujah, will draw the lost and use and bless the saved, oh God. I pray that this message will be a discipleship tool so that others will be disciples that make disciples. Lord, I pray that if some that for the lost today, and if they hear something, I pray that they hear something, oh God, that will prick their hearts to come to you and make you their Lord and Savior. And I pray it all in your precious, righteous, and holy name. Amen and amen. All right, family, we are almost to the end of our transformational journey through the book of Acts. But I praise God because for me, it has been a phenomenal journey. I've often said it is not about the final destination, but it's about the enjoying the journey. And I have truly enjoyed teaching the book of Acts. You know, most of us learn early on in life what a promise is. And if you're a parent, you know it's not uncommon for kids to make promises like, I promise I'll be good. I promise, Mama. Especially when they believe a punishment may be coming. How many times have we seen kids make promises to each other by crossing their fingers while making the promise? However, some kids learn that promises are made to be broken. And after a while, they begin to live their lives that way. You see, promises can also become tools of manipulation to get people to do something for you. Therefore, some become victims of broken promises that string of broken promises in their relationship. Now, if you read your Bible, you will find that God has given many promises to those who trust in him. But now, some of those promises include things like this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whoever trusts in me will not be put to shame. I will be your God and you will be my people. Whoever is faithful to the end will be greatly rewarded. Glory to God. In the Old Testament, God gave a promise to Israel when he promised that through Abraham, all nations will be blessed. He promised that he would raise up another prophet like Moses, who the people would listen to. He promised that the Messiah would come and would be a light to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people of the world. And you better hear me when I say that all of God's promises are as good as gold. He has never broken his word, and he never will. Now, indeed, some of his promises are conditional, and they require something from us. But he has never crossed his fingers while making a promise. Oh, believe you me. Now, Paul talked to Agrippa and the other leaders about God's promises, showing that they are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, which is the main focus of this teaching today. I came to tell or remind everybody within the sound of my voice that God's promise is yours for the taking simply by surrendering every area of your life to him through Christ Jesus. So, today, I want us to look at several facets of God's promise to us through his son. First, the first thing I want us to look at is the hope of the promise, as recorded in Acts 26:1-8. Let's look at it. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead?" Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, Paul is clearly showing that God's promise is the issue at hand here. Now, perhaps Paul's accusers would say that they believe God's promise. Oh, but they certainly wouldn't link it to Jesus of Nazareth, whom Paul claims is the God's promised Messiah. Paul has two closely linked thoughts in mind that he's referring to in verse 6 to what God promised their fathers. He is referring to the messianic hope that God will one day send a Messiah who will restore his kingdom. But he is also referring to the resurrection, both of Jesus and of all those who follow him and his life's teaching. You see, it was Israel's hope that the ruler God had promised would come and lead them victoriously as a nation. You know, much as King David had led Israel about 1,000 years earlier. Paul was saying that this promise had been fulfilled in Jesus Christ and that it was verified by his resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, the physical resurrection of Jesus was of the highest importance to Paul's message. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, you can see how essential the resurrection of Jesus is to the gospel. Now, the Sanhedrin was the religious ruling body of the Jewish nation under the Roman government. It consisted of Sadducees, who rejected the idea of the resurrection of the dead, and the Pharisees, who believed in the resurrection. However, both subgroups rejected the claim that Jesus was resurrected. As Paul makes his case for the resurrection, all the Jewish leaders are aware that there were a few raised from the dead in the Old Testament. Both Elijah and Elijah were used by God to raise someone from the dead. Paul's Jewish listeners know that Jesus raised people from the dead. They may also have heard that Peter raised Tabitha from the dead, and Paul had raised Eutychus from the dead. So in verse 8, Paul addresses this question to the Jews. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? They had plenty of evidence, and they had Jewish history to establish precedent. God is still a life-giving God and showed that Jesus was the Messiah by raising him from the dead. The hope of the promise is that God's promised Messiah has come, and he has taken care of the sins of the world. He became the first to be raised to life with a new body, which means, which gives hope that we too will one day follow his lead. The hope of the promise is all about life in Jesus and the resurrection. Hallelujah. Now I want us to look at the kind of effect God's promise can have on those who receive him as we look at the result of the promise, as recorded in Acts 9 through 18. Hallelujah. Let's go. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun,
glory to God,
blazing around me and my companions. We all fell on the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand over here. I have appeared to you. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Oh, thank you, Jesus. You see, Paul received the promise after that encounter on the road to Damascus with Jesus. And I came to tell somebody this morning that after that encounter, Paul's life was forever changed. He would never be the same. He would no longer fight against God. And he would never again persecute the followers of Jesus. Because Paul became one of the most ardent followers of Jesus in the Bible. Why? Because he became one of the most ardent followers of Jesus because the same zeal that he had when he was persecuting Christians is the same zeal that he now has for the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? I'm going to tell you why. It was that way because Paul's desires had changed. His direction had changed. His directives changed. His life made a complete turnaround after he received God's promise. Verse 17 and 18 show the desired result of the promise for those who receive it. Open eyes to see truth. Turning from darkness to light. Turning from the power of Satan to the power of God, receiving forgiveness of sin, and receiving a place among those who are set apart or reserved for Christ by faith in him. I came to tell somebody this morning, Jesus can change your life. However,
He can and will only do what you allow him to do in your life. And let me tell you another thing. We don't get to pick and choose what we will allow him to do. When it comes to the things of God, we need the full package deal. We need to let Jesus make us new from the inside out. So the result of receiving God's promise, which is King Jesus, will be evidenced by a transformed life. And that, my friend, is literally the difference between night and day. So who is eligible to receive such a great life-changing promise? Well, let's look at that as we look at the reach of the promise, as recorded in Acts 26, 19 through 23. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all in Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim life to his own people and to the Gentiles. Beloved, I came to tell you this morning, you need to know, you need to hear this, you need to receive this, and you need to believe this. The promise of God is not for an elite few. In verse 20, Paul describes Jewish people in Damascus, Jerusalem, and Judea. But then he says that he preached to the Gentiles also. He preached that they should repent and turn to God and live in obedience to God. Then in verse 22, Paul says he is testifying to small and great alike about the promise. You see, the promise is found in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that Jesus would suffer and be raised up and would give life to both the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, here's what the Old Testament says about Jesus and the scope of the promise in Isaiah 42, 1 through 7. This is what it says, thank you, God. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nation. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and you will, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Somebody needs to hear me and believe me when I say that God's promise is to you. You are included. You are in reach of God's promise. God's promises, oh, hallelujah. You know what I mean? Let me tell you something. God promises to take away your blindness, to give you freedom, and release you from bondage and darkness. And this is all possible through his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, and glory to God. Just like Paul, I get so excited about sharing the promises of God. Paul got so excited about Jesus and God's promise that Festus breaks in and accuses him of being crazy. Let's look at it, family. Come on. In verses 24 through 26, we're talking about the rationality of the promise. Now, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense and said, "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice.
because it was not done in a corner. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Believe me when I say, receiving God's promise is the most sane thing a person can do. Let me repeat that. Receiving God's promise. And when I say receiving, I'm talking about you receive it, you believe it, and you stand on it. That's the most sane thing a person can do. Now, the crazy thing to do would be to reject God's promise. And hear me, people, hear me, family. I'm certainly not suggesting that you check your brains at the door. My point is that even though many of us may not understand how God works, his promises, all of them, really do make sense. Hallelujah. And I love it when you can stand on God's truth. When you're standing on God's truth, you can just lay it down. You don't have to get upset. You don't have to get angry. You just stand flat-footed on God's word and tell the truth like Paul did. Because Paul calmly and politely answers Festus. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The promise of God is out there for the whole world to see. Christianity is not a dead man's religion, but requires faith in the living Christ. The events of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, they were not hidden. They were quite public. The entire Sanhedrin knew all about them because they were the ones behind the arrest and the execution of Jesus. After they heard about the resurrection of Jesus, they even paid the Roman soldiers to lie and say that the disciples had come and had stolen his body. So to Paul, there was plenty of evidence showing that Jesus rose from the dead and was the Messiah, the promise of God. It was not insanity to believe so, but it was based on eyewitness accounts and objective facts. You don't have to be a wide-eyed fanatic to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, if you weigh the historical evidence and analyze the account of the resurrection, the logic weighs heavily in favor of the truth that something very unusual, hallelujah, something very supernatural happened after Jesus was executed on that Roman cross. Now, briefly, just briefly, here are some of the eyewitnesses' accounts for the resurrection. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 15:5-8. The Word of God says, Jesus appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. Thank you, Jesus, on the word of God, on the word of truth. Hallelujah. He stood. Now, finally, family, I want us to look at how King Agrippa handled the promise as it came his way as we look at the reaction to the promise, as recorded in 27-32. It says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophet? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, ever the evangelist, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting to them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Now, thanks God, there are numerous opinions on Agrippa's response, because some of the earliest manuscripts of Acts have variations in the words. Was Agrippa really close to becoming a follower of Jesus? Well, as far as Paul was concerned, he sure hoped so. Because whatever it took, Paul wanted to see people receive the promise of God for themselves. And to reject the promise is to reject God. But it appears that Agrippa had no real interest in becoming a follower of Jesus. The word Christian was actually used in a negative way by first century opponents. It was spoken with scorn, hallelujah, and derision. Agrippa's tone does not indicate that he was putting Paul down. However, there is no further mention of him showing any spiritual interest. So how does God want us to respond to his promise? 2 Peter 3:9 says that he does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Without God's promise, we have no reason to hope. Without Jesus, the one who died and rose again, we don't have anything to look forward to. God wants us to come to him in faith. God wants us to come to him believing that Jesus did what Jesus did by dying on that cross. And we have to believe that it is enough. It was enough to pay for all of the wrong things we've ever said or we've ever done. He wants us to turn away from those bad things and start a loving relationship with him. Oh, hallelujah. I came to tell somebody today. His promise is everlasting life. His promise is forgiveness. His promise is hope. His promise is acceptance. His promise is love, joy, and peace. Hallelujah. In our life daily, as we learn to live for him. What am I saying? Hallelujah. What am I saying? I'm saying that we have to believe every word that God has said. We've got to believe if God said it, he meant it, that settles it, and we're standing on it. That's what I'm saying today. I came to tell somebody today, if you need anything, you can find it in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Surrender yourself to him. Yes. Give yourself over and really receive that gift of Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to receive it. See, a gift means nothing until you open it up. You get into it. Hallelujah. And you really begin to utilize. And I want everybody to come to know Jesus so that they may be empowered with his spirit so that they might stand in this world today. We don't have to sit here and moan and groan and complain because we have the promise of God. Hallelujah. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, hallelujah, that I. God didn't say you, or me. God said, I will supply all your needs, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, financially, whatever is needed. Let me tell you right now, God's got it. And let also, you need to know and understand, if there's a need in your life, you don't have to be talking about, well, I hope it comes. Well, no, you have to be saying, Lord, you know what I stand in the need of. So I'm going to praise you right now because I know it's already mine. Hallelujah. Yeah. Lord, I'm going to stand right here and wait to stand back and see what you do. Because, see, you said, that your promise will never fail. You never broke a promise. You never went back on your word. Hallelujah. You never make excuses. When we need you, you show up. That's your promise. Hallelujah. We are free in Christ Jesus. We do not have to walk in fear of what's going to happen. God doesn't do anything halfway. If he is doing a work in your life, he is going to do it thoroughly. He is going to do it the best way. Hallelujah. So that you might be blessed. But let me tell you something. You just got to get out the way I simply believe and receive it as it comes and then stand on it. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Either you believe God or you don't. Either you're going to obey God or you won't. If you believe God, you trust God, you serve God, and you obey God, baby, those promises belong to you. Hallelujah. Every last one of them, every last one of them. Because what he did for Abraham, he'll do for us. What he did for Paul, he'll do for us. What he did for James, John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he'll do for us. Hallelujah. What he did for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, hallelujah, he will do for us. Because he is a God that never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is a God that does not lie. He does not go back on his word, nor is because he is not a man that he should repent. Everything that God said, God did and is still doing, simply because he promised that he would through the promise of his son. Hallelujah, amen. And to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory.
All right, praise to God. I just want to say I thank you for listening. I pray that you were blessed. And right now I'm going to ask that, first I'm going to ask that the woman of God, our prophetic intercessor, Pastor Vanessa, I'm going to ask her to come in and to pray and to seal this message. And then, my brothers and sisters, that will just give you a moment to just really get ready to give yourself to the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. You need to come to him while you still have a chance, because tomorrow is not promised. So right now, I'm going to ask that the woman of God, Pastor Vanessa, comes forward. And then we will seal this message. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for that message. And I just thank everyone for just having an ear to hear and praying with me as I seal this message as well. I thank you, Lord, today for the message. I thank you, Lord, today for your promises, and that we hold on to your promises and get more acquainted with the word so that we can intentionally be in agreement with your promises that impact us on a daily basis. I thank you, Lord, today for reviving, restoring, energizing Apostle Cook as she poured into us so boldly and delivered the word with intention, Father God, unapologetically. I thank you for the boldness of the word, how it cuts coming and going and is active and alive. And so I thank you, Lord, for this word, and our faith paired with the word will be able to bring forth your full purposes in our life as it pertains to how we serve, as it pertains to how we teach or preach or how we minister on a daily basis, and what we agree with and what we should not be in agreement with on purpose. I thank you, Lord, today that I come against the spirit of fear and confusion that sometimes will try to get in the way of us accepting the word and letting it meditate on it, Lord, throughout the week, that the things in this word, Father God, in the chapter 26 and Paul's testament and his involvement with government and his defense, there's so many chunks and pieces in this word, Lord, today that you know that we would need to feed us individually based on what we face, based on what we're called to do and who we represent in the earth today.
Yeah.
So I just thank you, Lord, today for that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
Guard our hearts and minds when we decide to agree with what we've heard today. It's in your holy scriptures, Father God. It will, cannot be moved. And it is really an example of your sovereignty, Lord, of all things, that you're everywhere and you're all powerful, and that will never change. I also pray too, Lord, today as I was hearing the word, I know that there are so many answers that the world may give us for hopelessness, or that the world may give us for our conflicts and our tests and our trials and suffering. But I thank you, Lord, today, in this word today, I heard the way that you set up things in your word and your promises for our life is the answer to hopelessness. It's the answer when people are going on a slippery slope. Yes. So I thank you, Lord, today for those who are bold enough and brave enough to hold on to what they heard today so that they never have to live in a place of hopelessness when we stand on your promises.
That's
in the
good.
Name of Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, mighty woman of God. Ooh, hallelujah. I got hallelujah goosebumps. I have hallelujah,
yes.
Holy Ghost goosebumps on that one. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, listen. Like I told you earlier, God's promise is for everybody. God loves us so much. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Jesus bled, died, rose, and ascended just for you. So if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, today I beseech you to take hold of that promise. Hallelujah. Today, I beseech you to give your life to Christ. Because we don't know when he is going to crack the clouds. Tomorrow is not promised. So you need to give your life to him today. Today. And praise God. He doesn't make anything hard for us to do. In order to turn your life into a life of promise, all you have to do is go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin because I am standing before you right now to repent. And I believe that you are the Son of the living God, that you died and you rose just for me. Now, Lord, come into my life and save me, so that I can live a life that's worthy of you. And I ask all this in your holy name. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in any form, because see, you know, you got to do you. But if you prayed that prayer with a sincere heart, I came to tell you right now, you are saved. Hallelujah. And it is my fervent prayer that you would connect with a body of believers that truly love the Lord. They live according to his word. Hallelujah. The word of God is the only thing that is presented. I pray that you would study to show yourselves approved. Because now, beloved, you have the help of the Lord's Spirit living on the inside of you. So anytime you don't understand something, all you have to do is ask. And he'll be right there to show you. Hallelujah. But I just want to say welcome to the kingdom of God. Your life is never going to be the same. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to be all roses, but I'm telling you, you're in for a wonderful life. Because when you really submit yourself to Christ, when you really abandon, hallelujah, the flesh, and you walk in the Spirit, I came to tell you that you will have a joy that is unspeakable. You will have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And when you stand on the promises of God, you know what that does? That just builds your faith. And that just builds your prayer life. And that just causes you to be even more obedient to God. Because the more you get to know God, the more you're going to love God. And the more you love God, the more you're going to serve God. The more you're going to praise God. The more you're going to want everybody to know about him. And you're going to do that by the way that you live your life. Glory to God. Now at this time, it is time, or should I say, it is now time for us to call forth the bishop once again, because
Spirit alive, we want our brothers. You know, women, you know, everybody always goes on over the women. But we want the men to know and understand that here at Spirit Alive, we want you to be in your rightful place. We want you to live according to God's word so that the order, the flow of the family will be correct. And we have Bishop Lester Carver that has been doing a phenomenal job on every man standing in his place. And also he and his beautiful wife do God's great love for us, and they are doing a wonderful job instructing us. So right now, I'm going to ask the man of God to come forth and speak to our brothers. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. The word for the men today is pretty straightforward, and it's going to be embodied in one scripture. Going to be reading from James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You have to understand how much power that you've been given from God. And in order to tap into that power, you have to submit to God in humility. You have to trust God absolutely. You have to serve God diligently. You have to please God intentionally. You have to obey God willingly. And so when you are in this place of submission to God, the devil will flee from you. There is no scenario where your love for God will ever cause you to run from the devil, will ever cause you to be bound in a place of doubt, worry, and fear. So in order to resist the temptation of doubt, we have to practice trusting God. In order to resist the temptation to fear, we have to practice developing our love walk toward God, his son Jesus Christ, ourselves, and others. In order to resist the temptation to retaliate when people persecute us and abuse us, we have to practice forgiveness, practice gentleness, practice meekness.
Yes, say that.
But when we practice these things, what happens? We receive the blessings of God, and the devil has to flee before us because we are truly submitting to God by not leaning to our own understanding, by rejecting our own understanding, rejecting what it looks like, rejecting what it feels like, rejecting what it sounds like, and standing on the promises of what God's word says it is. And so I just want to encourage each and every one of you to embrace and remember James chapter 4, verse 7. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you." Apostle Cook, this is the word for the men today.
Oh, hallelujah. What a rhema word. Hallelujah. With you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I just want to thank each and every one of you that are listening today. Hallelujah. And if there's anyone in the house, or anybody else in the house that would like to have a word to just praise God, hallelujah, let folks know you were here. You are so welcome to press your one, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Because, see, here at Spirit Alive, it's all about family. It's all about coming together in love and unity to disciple the world, to disciple, to reach everyone that we can reach, telling them that the Lord lives, he's alive, and we praise him for all that he does, not just for who he is, but all that he does, without us even having to think about it. Hallelujah. We're awake. Hallelujah. We're up praising, glory to God. So we need to there's always something to be grateful for, hallelujah. And we never should pass up an opportunity to give thanks. I just love the way Pastor Vanessa and Bishop pray with an attitude of gratitude. I have adopted that, and it makes your prayer so much more powerful, and it makes your praise so much more powerful, because you're really giving God thanks for all the things he's already done. If he never does another thing for any of us, he's already done enough when he died on that cross and rose.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Mother Mitchell for being in the house, Bishop and Pastor Carver. I want to thank God for the elders in the house, Deacon William. I want to thank God for Sister Nita and all of you that are in the house, that were in the house today, our watchmen on the wall. And we just want you to continue, hallelujah, to pray for Israel, to pray for one another, and to pray for us as we pray for you. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things, thanks to God, if we only believe in the promises of God. Hallelujah. And when we pray and standing on the promises of God, we should be standing and shouting and glorifying God already, because we know if we're going in his word, it's going to be done, because that's what he said. Hallelujah. So we just pray, saying God, that you just continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge God in all that you do, and we pray that you truly be ye transformed. So from our household to yours, we wish you peace, love, joy, grace, mercy, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit always. So on behalf of all of us, we pray that you just be ye transformed. God bless you. Oh, I got to do the benediction. Oh, hallelujah. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen, and thank you, Jesus. Thanks to God, you are dismissed. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Everybody that's in the sanctuary, you are now unmuted. I just want you to know I love you. God bless you. I see you ain't needed. I just want you to know I love you, and God bless you. And I'm so glad that all of you were here today. All of you are important to us, and important to me and to all of us here at Spirit Alive. So family of God, I love you in the studio. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Okay, y'all? Okay, my darling.
I love you all.
Thank you, Shirley.
I love you, Lee. I love you, Terry. God bless you.
I love you. Have a wonderful afternoon,
everybody.
Love you, guys.
Love you, love you, love you, love you,
love you. Love you too.